All right, we're going to finish up a series that we've been doing for a number of weeks, and we're wrapping it up today. We've been doing a series called New Wineskins, and today specifically we're going to look at what I'm calling new baptism. So we've looked at a bunch of new things that Scripture told us Jesus, when he came along, he ended up bringing about new things, and the fact that you and I need to be like a new wineskin, flexible and ready for what new things he has. Let's look at our key verse, Matthew 9:14. It says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." So we've talked about this a number of times. The new wineskin was an animal skin that was sewed up that could take the new wine. And by the way, new wine was simply fresh grape juice that would be put into the animal skin. And of course, over the course of that year, it would ferment, and yes, it would become wine. So Jesus is telling the people in this portion of Scripture, he's saying, God has some new things he wants to do, and it's not going to happen the same way it used to. It's not going to be able for him to pour it out and make it happen with the old methods. And so over the past few weeks, we have talked about a number of new things, new people, new methods, and today we're looking at a new baptism. Now, you and I believe, are the new wineskins that God wants. He wants you and I to be people who are flexible and ready to hear him and do what he says. You see, in Jesus' time, they all understood water baptism. Has everybody here heard about water baptism? You know what water baptism is? Okay, so in Jesus' day and age, water baptism was a thing, but Jesus was actually going to do something new. And he was going to have a baptism that would be a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. But let's see how we get there. So all of the people in that Jerusalem area begin to come out to see John the Baptist. If you know a little about the Bible, John the Baptist was the guy who was a lot like Elijah. He wore camel's hair and he had a big bushy beard. That's in style nowadays. Anyways, it was in style then too, because they didn't have razors. Big bushy beard, and he would go around and tell people, repent. And then he would baptize them in water as a symbol that they were repenting. So many people have seen that, and we'll read the verse in a minute. But also, before John comes along baptizing, there were other baptisms that the Jewish people understood. They had rituals of washing, and they had certain rituals where it said they would immerse their hands, or they actually used the same word, baptize. So totally putting their hands in water to clean it. And they also had a baptismal ritual. If somebody was a Gentile and wanted to become a Jew, they would perform a baptism. And the idea was that they were baptizing away their Gentile self to become a Jew. So everybody understood water baptism. When they saw John the Baptist baptizing, they knew, okay, this is something to do with changing your life. And Mark 1 verse 4 is where we can read that story. Let's just quickly look at a little piece of it. It says, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And of course, the word baptism comes from baptizo, which means to immerse or dip. And it said everybody came out to see him baptizing for repentance. And the baptism probably would have looked a little bit like that. Jordan River was muddy and kind of shallow, actually, if you've ever been to Israel and seen it there. And that is a picture possibly of what it might have looked like with John baptizing Jesus. That's not literal. You realize there was no cameras back then. Okay, but it might have looked like that. So baptism was what John did. And he did it in a sense of people repenting. Now, Jesus didn't need to repent. Why did Jesus have to get baptized? John's baptism is for repentance. People coming and saying, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'll come. Now, what is really interesting, John was speaking to Jewish people who knew that others would come and be baptized that were Gentiles to become Jews because Jews were considered unclean. Remember that? All those unclean people. We don't go near unclean people. That was what the Jews at that time would say. John speaking to Jewish people saying, you need to be baptized. You're just as unclean as them. That's what he's in effect saying with his baptism. He's saying, you guys are looking good on the outside, but you've sinned, you need to repent. So they're getting baptized. But why Jesus? Jesus came to be baptized, he said, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is yours and my example. And Jesus went there as an example, I believe, for you and I to fulfill what needed to be fulfilled. But he himself had done no sin and would be the perfect sacrifice. When Jesus was baptized, it said that he went down in the water. When he came up, a dove descended on him. It was the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and then the Holy Spirit led him from there. So people see baptisms of all sorts. They see John's baptism, and many are coming to do it. You and I understand Christian baptism. Anybody here been water baptized? Probably most of you, because it's something that we believe as Christians, after you've accepted Christ, you fully surrendered to him, and then you can be baptized in water. Baptism is something we still do. We put a tank out here. And for Christian baptism, it's a little bit different than John's baptism, but it is a baptism where people are identifying with Christ and saying, I'm one of his. Okay? And according to Scripture, if you read the other Scriptures, it's also a symbolic of saying my old life is buried with Christ and I've been made new with him. This is an old message about water baptism, though. But some people got that, and we know that Jesus and his disciples, once Jesus had disciples with him, they went out and they baptized people. But let me give you that verse here now. John 3 and verse 22. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there baptizing people. Well, I'm going to skip ahead to chapter 4 and verse 1. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. So that was really the first Christian baptism. They were saying publicly to everybody, put me under the water, I am now a follower of Christ. Okay, that's basically what was happening, and they all knew it. So they were saying, I got a new life, I'm going to follow him. Now that's interesting, of course. These baptisms are happening, people understand. But I'm talking about something even newer than this was about to happen. A brand new baptism, so different from all the others that it would stand out all by itself. You see, this new baptism was something that John the Baptist actually prophesied when he was dunking people in water. Luke 3, verse 15, everyone is expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their question by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, when we talk about new wineskins, the whole point of being a new wineskin is so that it can be filled with new wine. And here we are being told that Jesus would baptize, immerse people in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now that's new because you can't see the Holy Spirit. It's not actual water. So this is something beyond water baptism and something brand new for the people at that time and maybe brand new for some of you. You see, Jesus told his followers, there's a Holy Spirit coming. I'm going to give him to you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to fill you with power. Do we need power for anything? Maybe you're like, oh, I don't know if I need power for anything. Well, we'll get there in a minute. I remember this story I heard years ago. And there was a preacher. He kind of went in the back areas, and he traveled in the States and Alaska and all over Canada, and he would go everywhere. And in his hometown, there was this one young man who was, they said he was close to 7 feet tall, a big guy, and angry and mean, and nobody would talk to him because he beat people up. He was just one of those kind of guys that you wonder, maybe he has a spiritual problem. He's mean. But this preacher, he decided, I'm gonna visit with them. And over time, this giant of a man got saved, and then he heard about this Holy Spirit. And he said, well, can I be baptized with the Holy Spirit? I want the power of God. And, you know, everybody's thinking, you don't need any more power. You're scary enough. But this young guy, he would travel with the preacher. So he'd start traveling with this preacher, and he kind of acted like he was the preacher's bodyguard. This preacher did not need a bodyguard. He probably needed someone to do promotion because, you know, nobody knew him. But anyways, he had a bodyguard, whether he wanted it or not. And they would travel all the time, middle of winter, and he got prayer. He received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But he didn't call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He always called it the power of God. And he would talk like that. He was scary, I guess, even after he was saved. And he tells this story. They got into a blizzard, middle of a blizzard. They're driving along. The blizzard just takes over. The snow is getting deeper and deeper. And they made a wrong turn. They made a wrong turn into this road, and they ended up in the drifts completely stuck. It's the middle of the night in a blizzard. They're stuck. And he tells his friend, the preacher tells his friend, I guess we're stuck here for the night. And his friend looks at him, no, we're not. And he just, no, we're not. He'd be like that. He gets out of the vehicle. He goes around to the front of the vehicle. And he bends down like this, and he's looking through the window at the preacher who's in there. And the preacher's got the vehicle in neutral. They're stuck. And he looks at him, and he goes, power of God! He picks the front end of the vehicle up and pushes it out without it even in reverse. I tell you, that's a good bodyguard to have. Anyhow, power of God. He just took things literally, this young man. He was, some said he was simple, but he just took things at face value. You told him there's power? Okay, there's power. Now, you're not going to have to lift a car anywhere, hopefully, and push it out. But I believe there are other things in life where we do need the Holy Spirit. So Jesus tells his followers in John 14:25, these things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Holy Spirit will teach us. In other words, this is teaching straight from God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you're needing wisdom, you're not sure what to do, Holy Spirit can give it. And then John 16:6, but because I've said these things to you, it's Jesus talking, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Here's Jesus telling his followers, my time on earth is almost done. He actually told them specifically he was going to die, and they didn't want to hear it. And said he'd be risen again in 3 days. But he tells them it's actually better that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. How can that be? How can anything be better than Jesus? But here's the thing. Jesus was God in the flesh, in one body, in one location. He had the same things as you and I. Man, we can talk here, but the Holy Spirit has no limitations. He can talk to anybody in the world, anytime, any place. So I believe that's why it's to our advantage. You don't have to drive across the country to find out where Jesus is located. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is present, willing to talk to anyone who wants to hear. So Jesus tells them, wait for the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is going to be leaving, and he says, you guys, you need to wait. I got some great things I want for you to do. I want you to go through the whole world and tell people, but you need to wait until you have power. Does anybody like the word wait? I have a five-year-old. Wait is a bad word to a five-year-old. I'm just saying. Just wait a minute, right? Ah, no. Some of us, even though we're not five anymore, wait. You know, we're talking to God, or we want to get this thing rolling or move into this. And God says, wait. Luke 24:49. Jesus says, I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. You see, Jesus, for some reason, believed that you and I needed power. Holy Spirit power. We need power to fulfill the destiny, the plan, purpose that he has for each of us. And I believe we need his power and direction on a daily basis. Acts 1 and verse 4, it fills us in a little more about what Jesus said. He said, being assembled together with them, Jesus was, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Can you imagine? They were probably wondering, what does this look like? What does this mean? It had never been seen before. But they were told, you got a mission to do, but you wait. Because I need you to be filled with power before you go. So in the New Testament, we read many stories, especially the book of Acts, where people are filled with Holy Spirit power. The first time it happened, we're told there was about 120 of them or so in an upper room praying, waiting for the Holy Spirit. And Acts 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak in languages that they didn't know. And it says that they were telling the good things of God. And I don't know what that must have looked like, fire on top of their heads or what. I mean, if I saw fire on top of your guys' heads, I might be a little worried. But that's what they saw, that's what they experienced, and they were speaking languages. And it was loud. It was noised abroad. It was loud. And people in the area, because there were people from all different backgrounds in Jerusalem at that time, they were all coming for the big festival, if you will. And they heard people speaking in their home language the good things of God. And they were drawn together. And they were like, this is amazing. And they saw these guys. And I believe there was girls there as well, ladies as well, were part of Jesus' group. And they're loud, they're speaking, and all of a sudden people start to say, these guys must be drunk. Imagine that. Because they're loud and happy, they must be drunk. Well, that's not too fair. Christians can be loud and happy, and alcohol's not a part of it. But anyhow, even back then, they were pretty sure, but I think they're drunk. Because they are just being loud and crazy. And Peter gets up and he talks to the people. He says, these guys are not drunk. But what you're seeing is what was prophesied in Joel. And they are filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, this is an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit comes to give power, direction. But along with that Holy Spirit comes a lot of joy. And sometimes it's loud. There's one thing I know. When you get in a group of people who are really joyful, typically, they're also loud. Joy has a way of doing that. Have you ever been with a group of people? They're just so much fun, but they're... What happens? Pretty soon, they're talking and laughing all at the same time. And if you're like a shy, nervous person, you're probably like, oh, how did I get here, right? But if you enjoy that kind of thing, it's like, wow, this is a happening place. Anybody have relatives? You get together on Christmas, and the whole house just like... louder and louder. I tell you, Holy Spirit brings that, and it's okay. And no, we're not drunk. Ephesians 5:18, they actually use this type of language talking about the Holy Spirit. And it says this, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? what he's saying is some people to, you know, they're trying to deal with pain or they're trying to deal with their past or maybe they're in depression and so alcohol brings a peace to them. But he very clearly says you don't need that. You need the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit, there's no side effects. I know you're looking at me here like, I don't know, maybe there is. You're a little crazy. No, there are no side effects with Holy Spirit. No negative side effects. Maybe I'll say it that way. Yeah, you might get loud and crazy, but it's not going to destroy your life. It's going to give you an awesome, full life. And Holy Spirit baptism is something that Jesus wants to give to his people. Jesus wants to give to believers the filling, as it calls in some place, or the baptism where you're immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now, as Christians, you maybe understand, if you're a Christian, that the Holy Spirit is involved in your salvation. But this is an immersion or a filling of the Holy Spirit, and it is different from your initial salvation. I'm not going to get too deep into it today, but just so you understand what we're talking about. As well, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. Did you know that? The word to be filled actually means being filled, or it's something that happens again and again. So that's pretty cool, right? So he says, don't be drunk with wine in excess, or you got to keep drinking. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, get in God's presence. That's his Holy Spirit. Let him fill you continually. So if you're here today and you're like, well, I'm Pentecostal. I remember I got filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. And you haven't spoken in tongues since. You haven't felt his presence since. You're miserable. You're not joyful. Guess what? You need to be refreshed. You need to be baptized again in the Holy Spirit. It just went really quiet in here. Everybody's just like, what? Being filled continually is what he does. How do I know this? Because in Acts chapter 2, all these believers got filled. Fire on their heads, speaking in tongues. By the time we get to Acts chapter 4, now I don't know if this is a few weeks, a couple months, but by Acts chapter 4, we have all the same group of guys and ladies in a building praying to get filled again. In Acts 4:29, now, Lord, hear their threats. Well, we know it was tough because they were putting some of them in jail. They were threatening them. They were wanting to kill them. But he said, they're praying together. Hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Okay, I want to stop right there for a second. They're asking for all these things. They're asking for boldness. They're asking that they can preach with power. They're asking that healings can happen and miraculous signs and wonders can be done. And what's God's answer to this? His answer to it is, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. This is the same group that was filled with fire on their heads. Two chapters later, they're being filled again. And the answer for what they needed to be bold, to see miracles, to see changed lives, was the Holy Spirit. They were already followers of Jesus. Did you know that some of them had already seen people healed when they walked with Jesus, and they had actually seen people delivered when they were trained by Jesus, but here they were now needing to be filled to see the miraculous. You see, the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event, and it is something that you and I need to be filled with on a regular basis. There are many others in Scripture, and I'm not going to go there tonight because I don't want to keep us too long, but you can go through the New Testament, and especially at the book of Acts, if you want, and you'll see that many are filled with the Holy Spirit after they accept Christ as their Savior. Did you know that in the Old Testament, it was told to you and I and all those that the Holy Spirit was for everybody, not just a specific few. You see, in Old Testament times, only chosen prophets got the Holy Spirit coming upon them, but it wasn't even a baptism or a filling. The Holy Spirit would come upon them for the needed moment, for the times that there needed to be a word or a miracle. But in that time, a prophet named Joel was given a word that the Holy Spirit would be for everyone. Guess what? That means you, me. That means the person you don't like that comes to church. I hope you like everybody here. You're actually supposed to love everybody here. I'm just saying. Everyone. Listen to what he said in Joel. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." All. Do you know what all means in the Hebrew? It means all. Just, anyways, never mind. Yeah, what other meaning can you get? All is everybody. Okay. "He will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Everybody, anybody who is willing and wanting it. So that brings us to this point, and we're winding down now. How do I receive this new baptism? Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, okay, well, that's cool. I know I accepted Christ and I'd like this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is it scary? Is it spooky? No. It's actually very simple. And it's something that I believe that as Christians, we should want and desire. So here's how. You simply believe and ask Jesus the baptizer to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus that baptizes in the Holy Spirit, okay? Men and women of God can pray with you and be a part of it, but the baptizer is Jesus, not me or anybody else. John 4:10, Jesus gives a clear little picture of this. We're not going to go into this whole story. This is one we've talked about often, but he's talking to a woman at a well, and he's talking to her about something that he has, a gift that he can give to people. And that's all I'm going to focus on today. Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you." See, the Holy Spirit is a gift. Everybody say a gift. "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." The Holy Spirit is a gift. It can't be worked for. You can't be good enough to get it. It's a gift. You see, the first baptism that we read about, that first Holy Spirit baptism where fire was on their head, we're told that they were together in one accord and they were praying and believing. They were asking. They were asking for his filling. And guess what happened when they asked? They were filled. It really isn't more complicated than that. I've known people like, well, do I need to fast and pray? You know, how many days am I going to have to? It's simply you and I asking. So this brings me to my close here today, and it's this. First of all, in order for you to be filled with that Holy Spirit that leads, guides, directs, brings truth to you, gives you power, not to lift vehicles, but gives you power for living day to day, to fulfilling your destiny, that you simply need to first accept Christ as your Savior. Because here's the thing. You and I are in a position right now where we need a Savior. You see, sin passed on all mankind thanks to Adam. We can blame him, Adam and Eve. It's their fault. But sin came on all, and there was a break between us and the Heavenly Father. It's called sin. And that relationship was broken, but Jesus came to make that relationship once again, I don't know if we can say it, a tight relationship. We once again could get close to the Father. You see, you couldn't get close to him until Jesus came and made it possible. In the Holy of Holies, where they said God's presence was, there was a big curtain. Nobody was allowed past there except for the high priest, and only at certain times. But when Jesus died and the price was paid, that curtain that separated us between the Father's power and presence was ripped in two. See, Jesus made a way. And he wants each of us to be close to the Father once again. And so we call that salvation. We call it having our sins forgiven. And that, my friend, is simply you and I saying, "Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I want it for me." And so I'm going to take a moment, in case there's someone here who has never prayed and asked God to save them, we're going to take a moment just to pray a prayer. Because in Romans 10 and verse 9, it says, the way you're saved, it says if you believe in your heart, Jesus died for you, and you say it with your mouth, that's confess. We would just use the word, you say it with your mouth, you're saved. So we're going to do that first, and then I'm going to wrap up with Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you guys to join me. We're not going to single anybody out. And repeat this simple prayer after me, just to use words. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Today, I choose to follow you. Amen.